Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. We're looking at politics in the year ahead, and how can you not? We're going to have a very faithful, very hard fought, and a very consequential midterm election coming up in November of, it's November of next year. We still have a few more days of 2021. But will 2022 go down as a big, big victory for Republicans, like, say, 1994 was for Newt Gingrich? That kind of sweep? A number of people looking particularly at Latino voters say almost certainly yes, because of some of the gigantic gains that Republicans look to be making, at least in some of the polling, about where that vote is going to go. To say if those explanations and expectations are justified or not, and the reason behind them, nobody more insightful or authoritative than my guest and my friend, Ruben Navarrete, who is a fresh and increasingly significant voice in the national political dialogue. His twice weekly column through the Washington Post Writers Group focuses on thorny questions involving ethnicity and national origin and much more. And Ruben, let me wish you a very happy new year. I hope your family had a healthy and happy Christmas.
We did, Michael. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you, and happy new year to you and Diane and the family as well.
Okay, let me get right to this, because there's a piece that's been getting a lot of attention that appeared in justthenews.com, a piece written by John Solomon. And he says that America's 46th president, meaning Joe Biden, of course, and his Democratic Party have been losing Latino support ever since the campaign, with a new polling showing Republicans now dead even among Hispanic voters headed into the pivotal 2022 elections that will determine control of Congress. You suspect, though we've spoken about this before, you suspect those polls might be accurate.
Michael, absolutely. They're accurate for a number of reasons. If you go back to Election Day, there were a good number of Latinos who wanted Donald Trump out of office, but Joe Biden was frankly not their first choice. You recall that when we got to the end and it was Bernie versus Biden, it was Bernie Sanders who did really well with Latino voters, to the point where he was given the moniker Teal Bernie, you know, Uncle Bernie. He actually went out to the neighborhood. He actually went out and spent money and made outreach a real priority. Joe Biden did not. So while Joe Biden did very well with African Americans, he did not do well with Latinos. Now, Latinos wanted to get rid of, as I said, Donald Trump. So out of necessity, they support Joe Biden. That support quickly evaporated, Michael, when they got a good hard look at his Joe Biden's immigration policies, which looked a lot like Donald Trump's immigration policies. And so I'm not all surprised that we've arrived where we have.
Okay, this is an interesting thing, because it sounds contradictory. At least contradictory is something that John Solomon features in his piece. One of the points he makes, and I've heard this from a number of spokespeople, including a little bit from you, that today's Latino vote includes a lot of people from Nicaragua, from Venezuela, not just from Cuba, people who have developed a hatred and a resentment for socialism. They don't like the word. They don't like the reality. They've lived it in lots of parts of the Latin American world, so including in Mexico. So how would it be that people have actually experienced the dysfunctions of socialist doctrine when put into practice in Latin America would come home and simultaneously cuddle up to T.O. Bernie, to Uncle Bernie?
A lot of it has to do with outreach. One of my favorite stories is the story that Tip O'Neill used to love to talk about and tell. He said in his very first run for Congress, his neighbor urged him to run, and he got into the race. He went through the whole race. He got elected. He went up to the neighbor and said, thank you. And she said, oh, I wish I'd voted for you. And Tip said, what do you mean? You're the one who told me to run in the first place. What do you mean you didn't vote for me? And she said, well, Tip, you never came to my house and asked for my vote. And he loved telling that story because that's what politics is about. You've got to ask for the vote. And I think that's in great measure what Bernie Sanders had going for him, because aside from, you know, this label or that label or his politics or left, right, or center, it really counts a lot. When Ronald Reagan asked for the Latino vote in 1984, he got 40% of the vote. George W. Bush asked for the Latino vote in 2004. He got 44% of the vote. Even Donald Trump, Michael. Donald Trump asked for the Latino vote. He went out there to Latino neighborhoods and spoke, and he did well with Latinos. That's really the secret. It's not that complicated.
Okay, and one of the things you talk about here is, how do you ask? What is the right way to ask? If you're a Republican, you have to watch out for people and their BS meter, right? I mean, because surely at this point now with Latinos, clearly and by a long shot, America's leading most populous, most powerful minority. What do you do to ask without patronizing?
I think it's a great question. It's also true of a lot of other groups. Every other segment in society, there's that thin line between pandering to them and ultimately trying to make that pitch. But, you know, ethnic politics has always played a role in our country's history, and John Kennedy benefiting from the Irish vote. Theodore LaGuardia would not have been elected in New York had not been for the Italian vote. So there's always sort of that that dimension in terms of, is this pandering or just outreach? But if you do it in a respectful way, and you do it in a way that actually shows that, you know, we have a vision for America, you're a part of it, we want you on this team, I think it pays dividends. The trick, and here's where it gets interesting, Michael, I remember a story where Terry McAuliffe, when he was head of the DNC, was all set to spend a lot of money in the Hispanic community. He got pushback from African-Americans who said, hey, wait a minute, don't forget about us. And so they killed that program, and they didn't spend any money in the Latino community for outreach because they were afraid of alienating African-Americans. And my concern for Republicans is that they will get significant pushback from their white base if they are seen as, quote, pandering to Latinos. And if that happens, and if that keeps them paralyzed the way Terry McAuliffe was paralyzed, Republicans will not be able to hold on to the support they're now enjoying.
Well, that's fascinating. But don't you answer that by saying that basically we are looking for Latinos who share our values, who are pro-family, pro-patriotic? I mean, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people get wrong about the Latino community. They want to be flying Old Glory. They're not looking to fly an El Salvadoran flag.
Absolutely. I mean, they've gone off. We've fought in every battle since the Revolutionary War. You know, we've had plenty of medals for valor. Lots of uncles and cousins never came home because they died in action. So Latinos are deeply offended whenever their patriotism is called into question. They do love the Stars and Stripes. They love this country. But it is something. It's odd to be a part of the fabric of the country, to go back to 1565, the founding of St. Augustine in Florida, or, you know, 1609, the founding of Santa Fe, and still be seen of as an other, as someone who just got here. As you can imagine, my friend, it's incredibly frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. And you know what this is like. Sometimes we're part of these populations that sometimes our loyalties are questioned. We're accused of having divided loyalties. And it's just nonsense. It's not true. It's not justified. And it doesn't do anybody any good.
So right now, do you believe that, well, there is so much more to talk about on this, and I hope we can continue, which we will. And speaking to Ruben Navarrete, nationally syndicated columnist, about the prospects for a very, very big Republican gain. Newt Gingrich over the weekend was predicting Republican gains of 40 seats or more. They need 5 to take over the House. We'll be talking more with Ruben Navarrete coming right up on the Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776 if you want to join us.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, my pleasure to continue the conversation with Ruben Navarrete. His most recent piece was in the Daily Beast, and we've posted it up at our website. And it's about how, really, Latino voters who can determine the outcome of countless elections across the country. I mean, and it's not just California and Florida and Texas, but those very important states too. It's everywhere now. And here in the state of Washington, a rapidly growing and powerful a Latino community. So the question that he poses in the Daily Beast, Ruben, is that, okay, right now, Latinos are open to a pitch from Republican politicians to join the GOP, but does the GOP have any solid ideas for keeping them in that place? And let me speak to you about two issues that generally people don't talk about with the Latino community, but I suspect they should. One is critical race theory, which is something that is not generally popular in the United States of America. But people assume that because Latinos are considered non-white, that they would applaud critical race theory or things like the 1619 Project in school. What do you think, Ruben?
Michael, this is great. That's a great question. I just finished a column this morning for the Washington Post where I basically said, what Latinos want, it's not that we want to be part of America. We have always been part of America. We just want that fact acknowledged, finally. And we don't have this radical notion of wanting to tear down America and transform it into something new and different. And I think that we have gotten this bum rap. A lot of white conservatives, I think, are very skittish about critical race theory. I read their columns. I listen to their radio commentary. And I always think they're talking about somebody else because they can't be talking about Latinos. And so I think for the 62 million Latinos in this country who are 18% of the population on their way to 25% in 20 years, this huge voting bloc, we have always assimilated, always been part of the program, and we love this country. We don't want to remake it into something new. And we typically don't think of ourselves as victims. I think that part of being neither black nor white is I'm able to see the racial issue in this country very clearly, with no blinders on. And a lot of the folks I see who are playing the victim card are black or white, but they're not Latino. For instance, there's no such thing as Latino reparations. We're not looking to be compensated for the Southwest, for the eight states that used to belong to Mexico, right?
Right.
We're playing, I have a friend who's an Italian-American friend of mine from New York who always says, Latinos are playing the game by a different set of rules. You have to understand that. Our Asian community is also playing the game by a different set of rules. These are new to non-white communities, it's true, but we're not exactly in sync with a lot of our African-American brothers and sisters. We see these issues very differently. And that extends to critical race theory.
And by the way, that certainly applies to the idea of reparations. I was going to ask you about that next, because this is one of those things where, with so much of the Democratic Party being dependent upon not just winning the black vote, but winning overwhelming percentages, 90% and more of the black vote.
Right.
When you're so dependent upon ethnic appeals, that is a great weakness for any party, and the Republican Party shouldn't fall into that trap, or there's really not that much danger. It would, except if you're saying they're dependent only on white voters, which is not going to be enough to win in America in the future.
That's correct. And, you know, every party's like this. I would argue that one of the reasons you can't be pro-choice and a member of the Republican Party, or certainly not an elected official, the governor of so-and-so who's pro-choice, is because, likewise, evangelical Christians in the pro-life community consider the Republican Party their home. And so, likewise, Republicans don't want to alienate that constituency any more than Democrats want to alienate African Americans. But from where I sit, that's not really a good way to do politics, because it means that both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are paralyzed by fear at various points and are not able to grow. They simply keep going back to the same refrain, going back and trying to win the same votes over and over again. Everybody wants to dance with who brung them, Michael. And the problem here, and what makes this such an interesting issue, is, great, now the Democrats have blown it with Latinos. We're looking anew at the Republican Party, but don't kid yourself. George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, they worked for it. Are you guys ready to work for it or not? Because all my life I've heard Republicans say they're against welfare. They don't believe in getting something for nothing. Well, guess what, guys? You're getting the votes of Hispanics for nothing. You haven't done anything to earn it. So now you've got to earn it. And you're willing to do that just like Bush and Reagan did. And if you are willing to do that, you will benefit. If you are not willing to do that, you will lose those votes as quickly as you gain them.
There's a new representative, freshman Republican from Florida named Salazar, Maria Salazar. And she says, we share the same values that are entrenched in the Republican Party, God-fearing, law-abiding, tax-paying. Not only that, but we are Americans. We're not socialists. We want to come into the country and we want to contribute. And then she said on Fox News that the Democrats constantly talking down of America is backfiring with Hispanics who take great pride in our immigration to the United States. That echoes very much things you've been writing about for a while.
100%. That's exactly right. 100%. Yeah.
Do you know her at all or her service? Is she somebody for the future?
Absolutely. I'm aware of her. She's spot on in her observations. The trick becomes, Michael, that like Jewish Americans, Irish Americans, Italian Americans, we are going to be fiercely patriotic, but we also want to hold on to our identity and what makes us different. And we don't think that's a threat to you, just because you're not Irish or Italian or Jewish. I think that that's the whole blend with America. And I benefited from going to school in Boston around the Irish, who are at once proud to be Irish and also fiercely patriotic and proud to be American. And that's where Latinos are, too. So everything that Salazar says is right. But one of my favorite stories is when Jim Garrity wrote a great column for the National Review criticizing Tom Cancredo for attacking the Cuban-Americans in Miami for speaking Spanish. And Garrity's refrain as a conservative was basically to look at Cancredo and say, are you stupid? Are you dumb? Are we talking about a learning disability here? Because those are our voters. Those are our Republican voters, okay? They show up for us time and again. Now they're angry at you. They want to go after you because you nibbled around this nativism stuff that you didn't need to do. So that, I think, is an important point. We will be
very
100%
important
American. Don't antagonize us.
Well, that's exactly right. And by the way, it's a great thing that you bring up the example of St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, nobody thinks it's an un-American holiday. But it is. It's a holiday about Ireland, and it's a holiday about Irish heritage. And yet we have come to accept that this is also part of who we are. And maybe we're on the way to look at Cinco de Mayo, dare I say it, in the same regard. It's just a way of honoring heritage for some of our fellow Americans. One of my favorite fellow Americans, Ruben Navarrete. You can read his most recent columns up at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back with Nicole Hannah-Jones reacting to opposition to her 1619 project. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A new study says COVID-19 vaccines help prevent breakthrough infections even among those who are immune compromised. Epidemiologist Dr. Jing Sun of Johns Hopkins University studied the records of 660,000 people who received at least one dose of the vaccine through the middle of September. The study showed breakthrough infections after full vaccination were found most in older people and women. Those with immunocompromising conditions were not found to have higher rates of breakthrough infections as well. Passengers across the country are experiencing flight cancellations and delays amid a holiday busy travel season. Another 2,200 flights were canceled, with nearly 700 of them within the United States or out of the United States. More than 2,000 have been delayed. USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
And on the Michael Medved show, Nicole Hannah-Jones is a Pulitzer Prize winner for her work on the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project, of course, is the very, very heart of critical race theory. It suggests that our children should be taught that the United States of America didn't really begin in 1776. It began in 1619 with the importation of the first 23 slaves who were brought to the Jamestown colony. And she is defending a critical race theory and now basically claiming that it's important that we decry people who are in favor of parents having some input into their children's curricula, decry that as racist, because that involves people not wanting children to learn about the brutal harshness of slavery. Here is what she had to say. Clip two.
This politicizing of this thing of this, it's clearly been weaponized. You've described it, I think, pretty well on the weaponization of it. Do you think simply time will get us past this? How can we get over this hump?
I don't know, honestly. I'm quite concerned about what's happening in our country because, as you know, my project, which is a work of journalism by the New York Times, is banned by name in Georgia, Florida, mm-hmm. in Texas. There are efforts to ban the teaching of this history in Oklahoma and South Dakota, in Tennessee. And when we think about what type of society bans books or bans ideas, that is not a free and tolerant democratic society. That is a society that is veering towards authoritarianism. So unless people who believe in free speech, who believe in our children being intellectually challenged, begin to get organized and speak up, I think we're going into a dark, going into an age of repression and suppression of the truth. And really, these laws are paving the way for the taking of other political rights, like voting rights, like women's reproductive rights, like rights for LGBTQ people. So we're going to have to decide what kind of country we want to be.
Well, wouldn't you want to decide to be the kind of country where what she just said was not taught to children? That basically that the people who were opposed to abortion on demand were not necessarily trying to take away rights. They were actually trying to defend human life. And the idea that people don't want a teaching about America's origins, the claim that she has repeated and said constantly that America is based on slavery, that it's impossible to understand. And again, it is so ridiculous because it lacks context and it lacks validity. Not that slavery wasn't an important part of U.S. history, of course it was. But one of the things that is most important to teach children is that the center of slavery in the New World, and the center of the slave trade, was nowhere near the United States. It was in the West Indies. That's where most of the slaves went, and to Latin America. And the idea that the United States originated slavery, or that slavery originated in the United States, is just a gigantic lie. And of course, parents should have some say in what their children learn. This is Nicole Hannah-Jones talking about how parents should basically have no role. Listen, this is clip three.
I don't really understand this idea that parents should decide what's being taught. I'm not a professional educator. I don't have a degree in social studies or science. We send our children to school because we want them to be taught by people who have an expertise in the subject area. And that is not my job. When the governor or the candidate said that he didn't think parents should be deciding what's being taught in school, he was paying and for that. But that's just the fact. This is why we send our children to school and don't homeschool, because these are the professional educators who have the expertise to teach social studies, to teach history, to teach science, to teach literature. And I think we should leave that to the educators.
Okay, when she's talking about that, the candidate, she's talking about Terry McAuliffe, who lost the governor's race in Virginia because he said parents should have no role. Look, parents should have the dominant role, and I'll tell you how. It's easy to give them the dominant role. Give them choice in education. It's not a question of objecting to learning about certain things or learning certain facts. It's an objection to learning an indoctrinated point of view. To not just have education in terms of providing background and perspective and realism, but providing open-mindedness and providing perspective, which is crucial for all of this. It's completely necessary and completely unacceptable to have this idea. If we're going to fight this idea out, and we may in many, many races across the country, this gives a tremendous opportunity to Republicans. Because, look, the right answer to all of what Nicole Hannah-Jones is saying about this issue is countered by choice in education. If somebody wants their children to go to a school where they are learning all about the 1619 Project point of view or critical race theory, if that's your choice, fine. But the idea that there are some parents who would prefer their children did not get a political indoctrination in school, that should also be acknowledged. There's also this question of perspective. People talk about taking away Americans' rights and our difficulties here with religious repression and suppression. And even you begin to hear this increasingly from a lot of Christians who are feeling that they're being persecuted here in the United States. This is just for a little bit of perspective. A story from the Washington Post. Priyanta Kumara, the longtime Sri Lankan manager of an apartment factory, a sportswear factory, in the gritty industrial city of Salkeel, this is in Pakistan, was known as a strict administrator, according to police. Workers complained that he forced them to stay past their shifts to meet export orders. He was also a foreigner from Sri Lanka and a Christian, while the 2,000-plus employees were almost entirely young Muslim men. On December 3rd, the resentments at Rajko Industries exploded into mob violence. Word spread across the factory that Kumara, preparing to repaint the walls for a visiting delegation, had taken down some religious posters that praised the Prophet Muhammad. And he tossed the posters into the trash, thus committing an act of blasphemy. Enraged by rumors of Kumara's desecration, several hundred workers chased him onto the factory roof, then dragged him into the yard where they beat, stoned, and kicked him to death, and then set fire to his crumpled corpse. The grisly incident highlighted a dangerous streak of radicalism that is spreading among ordinary lower-income and non-militant Muslims, according to observers in Pakistan. Christians are direct targets. Among the chaotic attack in Salkeel, security cameras and television news videos recorded workers taking selfies and chanting religious slogans. We told the foreman what Kumara had done, but he ran away. Then we all rushed to find the manager, and we sent him to hell, one young worker, flushed with righteous bravado, told several TV crews that arrived before he was arrested. Okay, the president of Pakistan, Imran Khan, former cricket star, has condemned the killing. That's something. But can we also appreciate what we have here in the United States, where people of various religions can express themselves without fear of being beaten and burned to death? We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
Several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
And you can join the crowds of people who have been actually flocking to join us as a MedHead Plus member, particularly because they had a chance to hear some of what we offer in terms of the history shows at the MedVet History Store, which are free to stream for all MedHead Plus members. What does it cost you? It costs you 11 cents a day. It's a terrific deal, a terrific opportunity to hear our special show that we played on Friday, on Christmas Eve, about the origins of American Christmas traditions, and the show that we played yesterday, Monday, about a key moment in the Revolution that turned on a Christmas night surprise. That and much more available from the MedVet History Store when you become a MedHead Plus member, also giving you free downloading and streaming access to the show, commercial-free, 24/7. Check it out at a very discounted price. That's 20% off until the end of the year. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the MedHead Plus banner, and join us. There is more on Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris just could kind of sort of be celebrating because she just pulled ahead of Joe Biden, her boss, in terms of a poll of approval ratings. And I thought it was kind of strange because what is it you approve of with Kamala Harris? What has she done to, frankly, approve or disapprove of? And she's only 1 point ahead of Biden. She also, actually, it's a misleading story, which is featured in Mediaite. They say that that for Kamala Harris, she is 44% approve, 54% disapprove. That's terrible. And for Biden, he has 43% approve, so less than Harris. And 51 disapprove, also less disapprove of him than of Harris. But this is part of why I would have to be down as a definite disapprove, aside from just the general ineptitude and vacuousness of the lady whenever she is asked to express herself. She was on with CBS's Margaret Brennan. This is clip one. And she agreed with the idea that she, well, could be the victim of terrible sexism. This is clip one. Listen.
Why do you think there is such scrutiny? I mean, women are always held to a different standard. That's just a fact.
is the fact that you're a woman and the fact that you are a minority in this office part of why there is such scrutiny?
I'll leave that for others to deal with. I have a job to do, and I'm going to get that job done. Let me just tell you, if you talk about being the first or being, maybe it's because I am.
Okay, the whole idea of the question is more obnoxious even than the answer. Can we just hear that question again? I mean, listen, it's just a fact. It's just a fact. Listen.
Why do you think there is such scrutiny? I mean, women are always held to a different standard. That's just a fact.
Okay, would they say that about Margaret Thatcher? I mean, there are many areas, and of course, in which women are treated differently and viewed differently. But recently, when you have two-thirds of the people who graduate from four-year colleges are female, not male, the idea that women want to claim that victim status, including the Vice President of the United States, she was asked about her biggest failure. And it was kind of I can think of some things to suggest. But it's not exactly what she said. Her biggest failure could be taking on that idea that she's going to supervise the secure border, which has not gone particularly well for the Biden administration. Here's the way she answered. Listen.
As you come to the end of this first year, what do you think your biggest failure has been at this point?
To not get out of D.C. more. I mean, and I actually mean that sincerely for a number of reasons. The president and I came in, you know, COVID had already started. It was the pandemic had started. And when we came in, we really couldn't travel. You know, a large part of the relationship that he and I have built has been being in this, you know, together in the same office for hours on end doing Zooms or whatever because we couldn't get out of D.C. And on issues that are about fighting for anything from voting rights to child care to one of the issues that I care deeply about, maternal health. Being with the people who are directly impacted by this work, listening to them so that they, not some pundit, tells us what their priorities are, I think is critically important. People have a right to know and believe that their government actually sees and hears them. And my biggest concern is I don't ever want to be in a bubble when it comes to being aware of and in touch with what people need at any given moment in time.
Okay. Really, if she had traveled more, maybe she would have been able to stick up for Jingle Bells. I mean, I know this is last week, but so much last week because we're between Christmas and New Year's, but you can still do Jingle Bells, right? It's a winter song, not just a Christmas song.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Okay, it is arguably one of the most popular holiday songs in the world, but it's no longer going to be sung at an elementary school in New York, public elementary school. The Rochester Beacon is reported on the Council Rock Elementary in Brighton, New York, which has decided to remove Jingle Bells from its repertory due to the song's questionable past. What's so questionable? Is it cruel to horses? No, that's not it. The principal, Matt Tappan, confirmed the song and several others have been replaced with different songs that don't have the potential to be controversial or offensive. The article says a factor in the discussion was research published in 2017 by a Boston University professor named Kina Hamill. In her research, the song's first public performance may have occurred in a minstrel show nearly 150 years ago, where the white actors 150 years ago performed in blackface. The district assistant superintendent for Brighton also told the Rochester Beacon that some suggest that the use of collars on slaves with bells may be connected to the origin of the song, and that even though they are not taking a stance on whether or not this is true, that line of thinking is not in agreement with district beliefs.
that some people in the community began banning the song altogether goes, think that it goes too far. Quote, you hear jingle bells and it's just the spirit of Christmas time, says Mary Santiago from Rochester. Christmas without jingle bells isn't Christmas. I feel it's ridiculous. Can I tell you, you not only feel it's ridiculous, especially when they don't know it's even true how it was first performed 150 years ago. Meanwhile, I'll tell you something else that's ridiculous. People have criticized the film that you're about to hear about because it tried to be fair and objective. It tried to give equal time to both sides. And it actually did a heck of a job. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A comprehensive documentary focuses on the tragic events of January 6, 2021, with riveting, never-before-seen footage and sympathetic focus on the police officers and other law enforcement personnel who tried to keep order during the Capitol riot. This offering, now streaming on HBO, lasts less than 2 hours, but it's called 4 Hours at the Capitol.
I work in what should be one of the most secure buildings in the whole world.
It just never occurred to me that a mob would get into the Capitol building.
Interviews with participants on every side of this battle provide an unexpected balance and help to answer the question why so many seemingly good citizens would participate in a violent attack against their own government. Criticism of 4 Hours at the Capitol has focused on this seeming sympathy for some of the far-right rioters, but the very personal interviews are actually one of this film's strengths. It's rated TV-MA, 4 stars for 4 Hours at the Capitol. Yes, deeply disturbing, but also profoundly moving and important. There's a warning that runs before you see this film and you stream it. And it says this, some footage here may be disturbing for some viewers. Can I tell you, if you're not disturbed by some of the footage, you're not paying attention. Do pay attention when we talk tomorrow about a fight over school book banning in Texas, of course. And marijuana suddenly dominated, even where it's supposed to be legal, by the black market. What does that tell you? And religion and politics, new perspectives in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.